Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm Eric Horn, here in the lovely Oklahoman podcast studios with Jenny Carlson and Maddie Lee. I was about to say after the Thunder's blah, 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 win or loss or whatever, but that didn't happen. You can decide for yourself whether or not the Thunder won or lost last night's NBA draft. I'll just put it out there. You can't win or lose a draft or a trade the day of the draft or a trade. People who do those things or make those articles are really getting out ahead of themselves. And they're just basically
don't make those articles.
They're basically making a paper trail for like 5 years from now.
For when they were wrong.
Some guy's like incredible or awful. It's like somebody probably said like the Thunder like won by getting Mitch McGarry.
Oh, I'm
and
sure.
And then Mitch McGarry smoked himself out of the league.
I might have said that. I don't know.
It's like, we don't know, It's the same thing with it's the same thing with the Thunder taking Darius Bazley at 21 or 23. You know, Thunder trades down, trades back, picks a guy for Memphis at 21, Brandon Clark, who was falling down draft boards and is considered a steal at 21. Look, we don't know who steals are and aren't. These guys could all wind up being terrible in 10 years. I think there were a few sure things in the draft. There was Zion Williamson. And frankly, Zion Williamson might be the only real sure thing. Even though Memphis was enamored of Ja Morant, the Knicks like R.J. Barrett. Those guys are more guys that you look at and you say, okay, there could be some potential bust factors here or things that could go wrong. Everybody's pretty sure that Zion's going to be a transcendent kind of guy. Darius Bazley at 23, we have no idea. We have no idea what he's going to be. We have no idea.
We haven't seen him play since nobody has.
Just clips, you know, Jordan Brand stuff, mixtape kind of deals, All-American game. Some grainy NBA draft combine footage. Like, he looks the part of a Thunder guy. He looks like a guy the Thunder would like to have on their roster. Mm-hmm. The question is, how much does he help today, as in this season coming up? Does the Thunder even care if he helps today, this season coming up, which I don't particularly think they do? How ready is this guy going to be after sitting out a year? We can get into the why he sat out a year. Yeah. Of basketball.
Well, and fans are going to jump on. Fans have been chomping at the bit for another shooter, and he's not that. Not saying he has a terrible shot, but from what I've seen, he's left-handed, right? And it's a little funky. But good handles, good passer. Just turned 19. So he's got some upside.
About that, and I wrote, I had a line in my column, I think, because things were happening quickly on deadline last night. So if I actually put this in there, I think I did, but it might have gotten nixed. But, you know, he potentially could be a younger, not injured Andre Roberson, more, you know, versatile Andre Roberson, because Roberson's been a guy that's been talked about as potentially on the trade block. So if you get a guy that you don't feel like you need right away, but you could develop, maybe that's where they sort of project him to be. I didn't have Andre Roberson this last year anyway, so if they would trade him and this guy wouldn't be available right away, it's not like they've suddenly got a big hole in the lineup somewhere. So I don't know. I mean, he's a lot like Terrence Ferguson was a couple years ago. Very intriguing. A man of mystery.
Or honestly, like Hami was last year.
Yeah. I felt like I knew more about Diallo, though, than
because
this guy.
Because of Kentucky.
Mm-hmm. And frankly, than right. even Terrence Ferguson, just because whether we like it or not, you know, the college.
Wait, you weren't watching every day of the Australian League? This is mind-blowing.
We don't watch every day of the SEC. Yeah. We certainly aren't watching every day of the Australian League. No. I think it's funny that, myself included, we all become draft experts the closer we get to the draft. Just because we've seen, you know, we've seen a couple of films or a couple of clips. We haven't watched these guys play 30, 40 games a year. We didn't tune into the beginning of the year and watch Tyler Herro play 35 SEC games or Cameron Johnson play 30 to 60 college games. If yeah. if you're claiming that, you're lying.
Yeah.
We just go off of mixtapes, which put together all the good stuff that the guys do.
That's right.
We see a few tournament games. We fall in love with guys. For instance, look, I fell in love with all the Virginia guys because they just kept making play after play, and they were always on TV during the tournament.
Yeah.
DeAndre Hunter, awesome talent, made a bunch of plays in the tournament. Ty Jerome looks like Alex Abrines a little bit, but he kept making some key plays over and over again, made big clutch shots. So you fall in love with these guys that are presented to you in these short bursts. But
the dude from Purdue, who scored all those points, but
Carson
like the
Edwards.
Rest of the year was just meh. But I don't care about the rest of the year.
Look,
he can shoot it.
He's a great scorer, but then you take a step back and you got to think about it from this perspective. These NBA teams, they evaluate these guys way more than we do.
Absolutely.
They evaluate them over years.
They talk to them. They do the interview process. They talk to people who know them.
Yes. Years in advance, they're evaluating these guys. They're evaluating these guys when they're coming out of middle school. I'm not joking.
I know you're not joking.
They know the prospects that are going to be lottery picks in 2022 or 2024, which classes are strong or weak. I think it's safe to say that Sam Presti and the Thunder know a little bit more about drafting players than we do, regardless of who has washed out in the 20s and who hasn't. Frankly, picking players in the 20s is a complete crapshoot in the NBA. You look at teams like the Toronto Raptors, who have just
built
won an NBA championship.
Yeah.
Without picking a single player in the lottery, or they didn't have a single lottery pick on their roster, that's an anomaly.
Whether they drafted them or not, that wasn't just them drafting a bunch of guys in the 20s. Like, they saw how guys panned out and then moved some over.
Yeah, and they were able to make the trades in order to facilitate and get those guys who developed. Marc Gasol, second round pick. Fred Van Vliet, a guy who was a second round. He was undrafted?
Undrafted.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kawhi Leonard was the highest of all those guys, and he went 15th.
Yeah, he did. Yeah,
and there's just no exact science to this, and I hate to quote Sam Presti on this, but that was a interesting, solid thing that he said last night. There's no exact science to picking in the NBA draft, and I think that all of us, myself included, I will be the first person to admit, we kind of become. That term, you know, prisoners of the moment. When something happens, you see that the Thunder doesn't get a guy that was of more name value, like a Grant Williams, a guy that you saw playing in the NCAA tournament, SEC Player of the Year, mm-hmm. 4-year guy, tough, can make a lot of plays. You see the Thunder not get a guy like a Ty Jerome, or you see the Thunder not get a guy like a Cameron Johnson, who is touted as the best shooter in the draft. They didn't have an opportunity to get Cameron Johnson because the shooting rises in the draft, and Cameron Johnson went 11th overall. To
which
Phoenix,
was way higher than
which,
anyone had. Them
yeah,
on,
higher
him
than
on
anybody
the
anticipated. And then, while the shooting rises, as soon as you see that pick made, people are slamming it on Twitter because Cameron Johnson's already 23 years old, and at the end of his first contract, he's going to be 28 years old. So people are always finding little ways to nitpick. Even the guys who are good shooters, they're finding ways to nitpick that stuff.
Well,
so
I had an interesting experience going back this week because I wrote that story about how the Thunder's approach to the draft has changed. Obviously, their options have changed as they've been better and haven't been getting lottery picks. But just overall, read the story. It makes sense. But I went back and like watched some of those picks back in 2009 and 2008. And you have when they took Westbrook, everyone was like, what in the world are they doing?
Same with Harden.
I watched that clip, and literally whoever was on the broadcast was like, well, fans in the arena, where were they? They were Madison Square Garden. Maybe scratching their heads right now at this pick, but he's the Thunder have liked him all along. So like both of those guys were guys where people were like, what? Like, come on, guys. And clearly, it worked out pretty well. I'm not saying that that's going to be this case,
right,
but.
Right. The draft night story that I always go back to I don't have to incriminate anybody in Oklahoma City, or the Thunder Nation. A couple years back, I was at a convention in Salt Lake City. So I'm throwing Salt Lake City under the bus. Get ready. And part of the, it was a sports editors convention. Eric's been, I've been. And one of the events was the Jazz draft night party. It just so happened that the convention was there that night. And so off we go to the arena. At that point, I don't even know what it was called. What it is now is not what it was
not
then.
Different.
No, it wasn't. So whatever it was, off we go to the arena, filled with fans. They're having a great time, going crazy, you know, enjoying themselves. And the Jazz picked at like 6 or 7 that year, so had a pretty high draft pick. And they announced to the crowd who was there ahead of the broadcast who they were taking. Had somebody come out with the whatever pick in the draft, the Utah Jazz selected their own selection. That year, they announced it. Jazz select Gordon Hayward. The arena.
Boo.
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 Whatever. 5 years later, Jazz fans were literally like trying to wrap their arms around Gordon Hayward's ankles. Please don't leave
we
us.
We love you.
We've always loved you.
You're the great white hope. No. Your hair is beautiful.
I mean, it's that always stands out in my mind. And there's probably fans everywhere that have had that reaction about a Harden, mm-hmm. a Westbrook, a Hayward, all along the way. You know, there just are certain guys that we have elevated and think, yeah, that guy's the right guy. And then for whatever reason, there are these other guys that they're not supposed to be the right one. But oftentimes, you know, I think in the top 10, you're likely, I mean, Eric said, we don't know, but top 10 guys, you're pretty consistently going to find some guys who are going to give you some minutes, going to give you some abilities that will translate well. Will they be superstars? Will they be all-stars? I mean, that's anybody's guess. But I think that you're likely to see R.J. Barrett running around for years to come. You're likely to see I thought the Wizards pick was probably the in the top 10 was taking the guy from Gonzaga was maybe the I'm not sure. But other than that, the top 10 was pretty darn solid in my mind.
Even like the Wizards pick, they took a grown-up. Like, I think Hachimura is like a grown-up. He seems like a guy who's pretty grounded.
Oh, yeah.
Those Gonzaga guys are usually pretty, like, heady.
Shouts out to the state of Washington.
Shouts out to Washington, the state. Spokane?
Spokane.
Spokane. Like, those Gonzaga guys are well-coached. They're multi-positional. And he just seemed like a grown up when they were talking to him.
Yeah.
He didn't really seem like a kid, and he's a little bit older prospect too. But maybe that's what the Wizards need. Maybe they need some more grown ups in the room, in Wizards land. Because
they've been in short supply.
Now look, all the things we've said about the draft picks and the crap shooting and all that stuff. I made this joke last night. The Thunder's building a pretty awesome team for like 2023. look, that's the first thing that jumps out about Darius Bazley. He doesn't quote unquote fit the Thunder's timeline. And when I say timeline, I mean
the
Westbrook, Paul George contract alignment, sure. Even Steven Adams, you throw him in there. Basically all
along
those guys
with the Warriors and their
oh, well,
that's everyone in the West timeline.
Well, it's like I don't think that the Thunder's thought process has changed just because Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant got hurt. Like, I don't think that changed the way that they were going to draft or how they were going to approach this season because of these injuries. But it does make it for a more wide-open Western Conference. I don't think that a team should ever be reactionary, whether you should – I mean, it's not like the Thunder wasn't going for it last year.
Right.
Well, just because the Warriors
they're
had –
like, oh,
we're
guess,
not going to
try
to get players.
I guess now this year we'll try to win.
Yeah.
It's like, we didn't want the championship last year, but how about this one?
It's not like Russell Westbrook, like, didn't want to make free throws last year. He just couldn't make free throws. So –
you and but Russell's free throws. I love your crusade.
It's not a crusade.
It's a
right,
reality.
It's right there in front of you.
I
you can just look at the...
I wrote it last night. It still made my jaw drop. 65%. 65%! Nobody was guarding him.
Look, I've said this before on the podcast. Russell Westbrook and Steven Adams missed a combined 301 free throws last year, which was more than, I believe... Okay, actually, I take that back. Russell Westbrook, Steven Adams, and Jeremy Grant combined, and Jeremy Grant was a solid free throw shooter. He was like 70-something percent, like 71. But combined, they missed 316, which is more than, I believe, six teams missed last year.
Ooh.
So, when Russell Westbrook and Steven Adams combined are missing 301 free throws, that's not something that you can just ignore. That's something that lost them games last year, which cost them seeding. Now, Westbrook gets his free throw shooting right in the postseason. Everything else is off. So, look, Jenny, you wrote it. We've been talking about this for months. Whoever the Thunder picks at number 21, whether it's a 19-year-old or a 23-year-old, you would have liked to see him take a shooter like a Cameron Johnson. Cameron Johnson wasn't available.
Yeah.
They probably wouldn't have taken him even if he was there, because that's just not how they roll. They feel like that they can, you know, go fish the free agency market, or they can go get a veteran, because Billy Donovan's going to want to play that guy over a younger guy. You can question that philosophy as much as you want. You can question the way that Billy Donovan handles his rotations as much as you want. It's not changing, because Billy Donovan's coming back.
And, I mean, he did this year play youth, and you saw a guy, you saw Terrence Ferguson, who they selected number 21 overall, be a starter, which is the best case scenario.
And it'd be one thing if they had some dude on the roster that was like actually a knockdown shooter that he wasn't playing, but they really didn't have that. Was he going to start Abdul Nader and over Terrence Ferguson? Was Abdul Nader going to hit 40% of his threes? Like,
Terrence Ferguson did at one point.
Yeah, and look, those guys were
like 47% of
those guys were all getting wide open looks, and most of them weren't average. Like, Abdul Nader didn't hit an average amount of three pointers, and he was getting wide open looks. So, to me, it's a tough situation. Like, they've got to get better players. They would rather get better players / guys who can make shots via free agency or trades, because they believe that Billy Donovan will play those guys, as opposed to a guy that they pick in the 20s or a younger guy, a developmental guy. The developmental guy that they draft in the 20s probably isn't going to come in and make a big difference anyway. Mm-hmm. Now, there are your exceptions. There are your Landry Shamets that come into the league and just knock it down. But the Thunder wasn't in position to get one of those guys last year because they didn't have a first-round pick, because they went all in on the Kevin Durant era. We could talk about that ad nauseum, too. The point is, you can always circle around to the fact that Russell Westbrook just needs to be a better offensive player. If he makes more shots, if he's more efficient in his game, it changes everything for the Thunder. If he's more flexible with his game, it changes everything for the Thunder. There's a reason that teams are sagging off of him 20 feet. And it's not necessarily because the Thunder has great shooters. It's because Russell Westbrook can't shoot. So if he can shoot, that's more attention that's on him.
I'd rather him taking those shots than driving the hole.
Which is actually, yeah, other teams would rather him take those shots because he's not a good shooter. So when your best player can't shoot and he's making $38 million, that's kind of a problem.
Well, and you see now, I mean,
it's cost efficiency.
You've got two guys on the Thunder roster who are in the top 35 in the world in terms of salary. And Pressy said it last night, that's not sustainable. Like, that's why you see them, you know, reportedly right before the draft, they're aggressively shopping that pick, trying to dump some, you know, package it with some other things to dump some salary. And Presti said last night, he alluded to the fact that they're not done. Whether every, you know, things that they want to happen will, we'll see. But he kept saying, like, it's the beginning of the offseason.
Yeah.
And that's the right way to approach it, frankly. Like,
well, and the history is solid behind him. I mean, he referenced the fact that if you look at the calendar, a year ago, Dennis Schroeder is not a member of the Thunder until 75 days after the draft. That's a long time. I mean, we're a long ways from 75 days from yesterday.
75.
We're about 74 at this point. But I mean, it now you look back and you think, I don't know, time gets a little skewed in your mind, or it does in mine. And I didn't realize how late in the summer, or really kind of getting close to the fall at that point, it was before he arrived. But, you know,
Anthony was super late.
Right before they started training camp. So I don't think, maybe more than, you know, this is a weird dichotomy, because this is the first time in a long time they haven't had question marks with their big superstar type of players. Are they going to resign? Are they going to extend? Are they going to whatever? But the rest of it, to me, is really in flux. I could see, I mean, I could see just about anybody, any piece of the puzzle not being or being traded out for a different piece before the season starts. So it's going to be really interesting to see what Presti does, how he tries to maximize the pieces they have to you know, reposition this team to do better than it did the last 2 years. I don't think anybody thinks they want to spend this kind of money again and not make it out of the first round.
No, and look, a big way to help that is, you know, the guys you have being better. Westbrook, Adams, Jeremy Grant and Terrence Ferguson need to make another jump. Paul George needs to stay healthy.
Get healthy.
Oh, God. Yeah.
And we'll see how long that takes. Could be a rough beginning of the season.
Yeah.
But Presti talked about internal improvement. I mean, that was one of the first things he said last night was, even on a night where they went out and got outside additions, he talked about internal improvement. And so I think, even at that, I mean, I'm not naive enough to think that they're going to keep the same roster. I mean, that just doesn't seem like the road they're headed down. But I do think that that's going to be really important. And as Eric said, it starts at the top with Westbrook. He has got to be, if he's going to shoot as much as he did, and he has, and there's no reason to think he won't, he's got to shoot it better.
And if you're going to make that much money, like it seems it's unfair to like continually bring, well, I'm not even going to say unfair. It doesn't seem right to continually bring up a dude's salary, but like it's about being cost effective.
Yeah.
Like if you're, it's one thing if like Kevin and this is the whole efficiency problem. It's not just an on-court efficiency. It's like it's a monetary efficiency. Sure. It's like Kevin Durant made $30 million last year, but like he's one of the most efficient. He's like the best mid-range shooter in the game. Yeah. So like if you're going to make a certain amount of money, you have to be able to squeeze a certain amount of efficiency out of that money. And if you're making 65% of your free throws and while you're hitting for a career high at the rim, but you're not hitting anywhere else in a guard league where you have to be able to create off the dribble and make shots, as we saw Damian Lillard do in the playoffs, that's not conducive to paying somebody $38 million to do. Like, he does a lot of great things on the court. The defense stuff is overblown. He was not great defensively last year.
He was better on ball than he has been before. That's not me.
And that's not saying much. That's not saying much. But he's got to be better. And, like, you know, you can say, well, Russell Westbrook needs help. Yeah, but, you know, great players, you know, create great situations for themselves too. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, Steph Curry needs help. Yeah. But Steph Curry has a gravity because of his game that makes things easier for everybody else. So does Russell Westbrook, which might mean passing up even more shots mm-hmm. because – he draws so much attention with his drives.
Were you guys talking about the efficiency of salary, getting more out of your guys than maybe their dollar amount would indicate? With that in mind, did it surprise you guys that we didn't see the Thunder figure out a way to potentially elevate into the top 10? I don't know how high, but that was sort of that mind that, you know, there's all this talk about guys that could potentially be traded. You know, you look at that top 10 and say, again, you know, maybe not superstars at every pick, but guys that are going to be pretty able, pretty capable in this league. Were you guys at all thinking, is that all the movements happening, maybe they get in here somewhere?
I feel like not in this. Sorry, go ahead.
No, you
I feel like not in this draft. It wasn't a stacked enough draft for that to make sense for them. They've got some of those young pieces that they're still trying to develop. And so there wasn't really a guy who fit in where it was like, oh, this is going to be a right now guy mm-hmm. kind type of guy. Because they've still got, you know, their homies. Presti said last night they feel good about where Terrence is development-wise, yeah. and he's doing great. But, like, you still have those guys who are still panning out from years before. And if you're in a win-now mentality – and you're trying to dump salary.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't necessarily see them moving up because, like, as Maddie said just now, like, with all the reports leading up to the draft that they were trying to go back or they were trying to trade the pick, mm-hmm. it wouldn't seem like they would be trying to trade up, because that means you're going to be paying a higher draft slot for whoever you're going up to get, and then you're going to have to give up something. Now, if it was a player, that'd be one thing. That would save you salary.
Right.
But they didn't have a lot of draft capital to work with in terms of picks, picks.
Yeah.
So it would have been difficult to like move up, because most of the time when you're moving up in the draft, you're typically giving away picks, as we saw last night. You're giving away future first.
Their next future first that they could give away would be what, 22? Do they have 22?
I believe so. Maybe like 2022.
Because they already traded 20, and they can't do 21.
Right, because it's all owed to, I mean, based on just previous trades, whether it's Enes Kanter or Jeremy Grant, Deion Waiters. Yeah, they've reinvested in their team by giving up draft picks.
Yep.
But yeah, it would have. I don't think that was a thing, particularly with, like, as Maddie said, this draft not being the strongest. I think there was like a consensus that this wasn't the strongest draft. That it was kind of a crapshoot after like the first three players.
Yeah.
So.
But Eric, you asked a good question of Presti last night when we finally got to talk to him in the wee hours of the morning. When he opens the press conference with "Good morning," you know it's late. And it was true. It was after midnight. You ask him a question right at the end about, can you get better and get cheaper? Or something along those lines. I'm probably butchering the actual question.
Yeah,
but I thought that was really interesting, because you do have two in their prime, working towards late in their prime, superstars. How do you get better if there's all this talk about cutting salary? And it's an interesting, I'm fascinated by what that, is that how that's actually going to go? Or is that just hopeful or not? I mean, I think I've heard you said it yesterday. They can't get under the salary cap. That's just not going to happen.
It's doable, but again, is it doable in becoming a better team?
Right.
Because you can just go look at the salaries of the teams that were involved in the playoffs. The Raptors won the NBA Finals as a team that I think they spent maybe like $133 million, which is a little bit over the salary cap. I think it was like, that's probably like $11 million over the salary cap. The Warriors spent like $138. You got to spend to be able to win an NBA championship.
Yeah.
But again, it comes down to cost efficiency. The Thunder is expensive because they had good players on their team that had to be renewed for second contracts or whatever.
Yeah.
Now, you can debate the amount of money that Steven Adams and Andre Robertson got. I think the Thunder overpaid for them. They say that's market value, blah, blah, blah. It's whatever. You set the market on those guys. They overpaid Steven Adams and Andre Robertson. Now, you can almost justify the Robertson thing if he doesn't get hurt. But
sure.
Andre Robertson had an unfortunate injury.
Yeah.
He hasn't been able to even recoup any of that value almost. They paid him $20 million for 39 games. Jenny's looking at her watch.
Woo. No,
that's a hard salary to get rid of at this.
One-dimensional player that hasn't played in almost 2 years.
Yeah. And he's got 1 year left, so you think maybe towards the maybe this season, maybe mid-season, that's when teams might actually be able to.
That's offloadable now.
Yeah,
some teams
it wasn't
have
last
cap,
year.
Yeah, some teams going to have cap space, and they'll be willing to take that whether Robertson plays or not, just so they can have a salary dump.
Do you think the Thunder's more likely to try to move him before he ever plays again, on the offhand chance that he's not as good, or do you wait, let him prove himself, and up the value that they might get?
It depends on who comes along and what happens. I'm not sure. I mean,
maybe, and it probably is going to have to be them having a good sense of where he is, I would guess. If they feel like he's maybe they try to move him before he ever plays a game again.
Probably in their heart of hearts, they'd like to see him on the court.
Sure.
But at this point, I don't know. I don't think anybody knows. Maybe Robertson doesn't even know if he'll ever be able to. I mean, he's obviously trying to get back on the court.
Sure.
You know, Presti briefly mentioned that last night. Like, he wants to get back out there, and he's working hard to do so. But
he said he saw, didn't get into any details, but saw video clips that wowed him, essentially. From
Did
Robertson.
He say he was wowed?
No, that wasn't his exact words. Those are mine.
We were all
but
tired.
Basically,
how can anybody
that,
remember?
I actually tweeted out. Hold on, let me check.
Was he wowed? I'd like to see these
impressed?
Clips.
Inspired? Moved?
The last time I saw Andre Robertson doing things on the court, I was inspired, but that was a very long time ago. That was like November. So
he said, I saw some video clips of him the other day that were really impressive.
Really impressive?
Interpret that as you will.
I mean, with what he's been through, like, running is kind of impressive. Yeah.
It's hard to be a non-tax team and be a championship contender.
Yeah.
I think he could be good. But maybe not. There's a difference between good and like the Thunder's a good team.
Right.
They made the playoffs.
Right.
But to be a championship contender, like you have to spend what the Thunder spent and get better performance from the guys you have on the team. Mm-hmm. And probably shuffle some of the pieces and get better players too.
And now those guys
maybe
are getting more expensive. Like Nerlens Noel heading into free agency. Probably. He has a player option, right?
Yeah, he's probably going to be more expensive. I don't know how much, but he might be more than the Thunder is capable of giving him for his
contribution,
his minimum, or whatever minimum he would earn. Which I think is around basically like what his player option will be this year, which is like $1.9 million. So he'd probably have a minimum of around that or $2 million. He might be able to get more somewhere else.
Yeah. Do you guys – sorry to – this is a tangent, but I'm sitting here thinking about
– Tangent.
Mr. Man of Mystery, Darius Bazemore.
Bazley.
Kent Bazemore. See, okay.
You went and got Kent Bazemore.
No, but that...
That's how we're remembering whether it was Bazley or Bazley. Because people have said Bazley. Adam Silver said Bazley.
So we're going with Kamish. Although I just went off on a tangent. Renamed him entirely.
Who said Bazley?
I was looking
up a bunch of... It's B-A-Z-L-E-Y. It could be Bazley.
I looked up a bunch of clips.
It could be Bazley.
Some random guy said Bazley, and I was like, wait a second. I thought I just had figured out how to say this.
So Bazley. Sorry.
Not Bazemore.
There's
probably a pronunciation we could look up pretty quickly. We have several powerful computers in front of us.
Go with the commish.
Still sticking with commish. I went back, refound him, introducing him as the Jazz pick.
I was going to talk about Bazley. Bazemore.
Bazley. Bazeman.
But you bring up... There were two things, well, maybe three things, that I was most intrigued by during the draft. One, the tiers. Two, the suits. Three,
the hat.
Why can't they wear the hat of the team that actually is going to have them?
They can't even talk about the team. They can't even talk about the players they're actually going to have.
There's got to be a way to.
So they make certainly this can't better. Put on a
Listen,
hat.
Listen, if. If we're going to have these press conferences after the draft, after midnight, I can't do the mental gymnastics to try to ask Presti questions about a guy he can't actually talk about.
You did, though.
Darn near impossible is what that was.
You got it. You nailed it.
Oh, man. I came up with a question and I think he knew what I was asking.
He knew, and he was trying to answer without saying that he knew.
We need to have some sort of, like, hidden tell, like, if we're trying to... Yeah, like
big old wink.
So Sam, do like a verbal cue or something when you ask a question, and what you're really asking is about the guy you just drafted, but you can't talk about him. But back to my original question: is he likely to be a D League guy, G League guy all next year? Do you guys feel like he'll go back and forth like Hami did, or what do you feel like?
There's a wait and see on that, because we thought Ferguson was going to be a G League guy, and then Ferguson ended up just sticking. So,
yeah,
probably depends on what he shows them and how
what the roster looks like.
Yeah, because look, it's not guaranteed that Abdul Nader is even going to be on the roster. He's got a guarantee in his contract that kicks in on like July 15th. So they just might like what they see from Bazley and be like, all right, some of these other guys can walk.
It's so hard to know where he's at when he hasn't played since high school. He didn't play all last year.
Have we been able to figure out any more about that? Because, I mean, Eric, you wrote it. Maddie, you wrote it. We all kind of had bits of it. Committed to Syracuse, then decided to go to the G League. Then before the G League started, decides he's not going to do that at all. He's going to intern at New Balance and work out and... Sort of the why of all that is a mystery to me. I mean, I've read a little bit, but not as much as you guys have.
Sounded like Rich Paul,
agent,
Clutch Sports, was there for some of the advice while he was figuring out what to do with that year. I mean, $1 million internship, I'd not play the G League for that, too.
I mean, you don't want to take buses to Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Yeah, surprising.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, and the question that you alluded to, Maddie, that I asked Presti was, is these guys, I mean, we see Terrence Ferguson picked a couple years ago after a year in Australia. He's advised a guy to do the same. I can't remember what the dude's name is. You guys wrote about him. These guys that are going overseas or going to the G League, and it's just not as conventional a path for 18 and 19-year-olds before they get drafted. And so my question to Presti was, is that continues to happen with more frequency, even though they've scouted overseas leagues for years, like how does that change the calculus, the guesswork? Because at one point he used the word, you know, you make a guess on how a guy's going to fare. How does that change the guesswork? And it's going to be interesting because, you know, the whole one-and-done situation or the none-and-done, is that something that's going to change again, the calculus in the evaluations? But this guy's fascinating. I mean, it's one thing to go to Australia or New Zealand or England or wherever, but he hasn't played competitive basketball in a year.
Right. Well, and, I mean, I've mentioned Diallo a couple times. He was a guy who was considering essentially that. I mean, mm-hmm. he worked out with Kentucky his, I guess, what would you call that, redshirt freshman year?
Yeah.
So he had that, but he was considering being a none and done and going straight into the draft, and then he ended up pulling out. And a lot of people, he essentially was the Bulbul of that draft. He slid yeah. all the way down to 45, and a lot of people
right.
criticized his decision to go back to college. So it's a weird, tricky thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm fascinated to learn more, and I know you guys are working on, I'm going to pub your stories that are coming up, working on some of those answers, you know, what happened, how did he do it, what did he do? You know, obviously, great high school player, McDonald's All-American type of player. So, you know, you've seen those type of guys that have, you know, gone into the league before, but just the not playing at all is just such a different decision to make. It's fascinating to see how different the options that sort of continue to expand for these guys that, you know, there's the college route, which is obviously still the most conventional, but more and more you see these guys that are American-born players who would normally have this one trajectory towards the NBA, and it's going different ways.
And it'll be interesting to see how the league reacts to that, too, mm-hmm. because if this does keep becoming more and more common, like, why not let guys just enter from high school? Like, is there really a big difference between going straight from high school and doing a 3-month internship at New Balance?
Mm-hmm. Probably not.
Look, and some people would argue that these guys would be better off, you know, either going professionally in Europe, doing the G League route, or, you know, to Baisley's extreme, you know, working out and training on his own with a personal trainer and strength coaches, because they go to these college programs, they get nitpicked in terms of their strengths and weaknesses. They get into systems that, or they play for coaches that aren't playing him a requisite amount of minutes.
They theoretically aren't making any money.
They're certainly not making $1 million as an intern for New Balance that we know of. Then
New Balance is next to Adidas.
Some of these kids are playing in systems that don't accentuate their gifts, that aren't going to help them when they get to the NBA level.
Mm-hmm.
And then, frankly, that's just more eyes on them in order to get scrutinized and in order to and could potentially have their draft position fall. Yeah. So it almost helps guys like Baisley and Terrence Ferguson to where people don't get a lot of look at them, mm-hmm. to where they remain a mystery. It can kind of go both ways. They don't have a lot of intel on them, so there's some risk there in saying we don't know a lot about this guy. We might not want to draft him.
Yeah.
But then there's that intrigue to where, okay, this guy hasn't been through all the college, all the nonsense that comes with collegiates. He's, that's not a word.
Collegians.
Hasn't gone through all the NCAA rigmarole.
Yep.
This is a guy that is still kind of a blank canvas in terms of how we can, you know, bring him into our system.
Yeah.
And you know, you can also get a value there. And I think that the Thunder kind of looked at it that way too. Whereas Presti a lot of people passed on this guy that might have been a top 10 pick had he gone to college.
Yeah.
Yeah. Presti said something interesting last night where I was like, did I hear that right? So you guys can stop me if I'm interpreting this wrong. But
I was nodding off at one point.
He basically said that that sometimes it's an advantage to not have the preconceived notions that come with a guy who you know a lot about and who everyone has seen a lot of.
Keeping an open mind. I think you talked about that. Yeah.
That's why it works better for guys late in the first round and early in the second, though. Because you're – I mean, prove me wrong, but – those top 3 to 5 to 10 slots, you're not. That's a much harder way to get in there by going overseas and being here.
Sure.
No, and like for all the things you read about this kid, is he worked hard when he wasn't. You know, just because he didn't play games doesn't mean he wasn't working hard.
He wasn't just like slacking off. Right. Like, oh, okay, sitting on $1 million.
Now that's not to say he's going to come in and be able to help the Thunder next year, which is what a lot of people want. Look, I have my questions about the pick too, because I think you just could have gotten guys that could be of more immediate help to you. But the Thunder doesn't see it that way. They don't see it as, you know, a guy at 21 is going to come in and be this guy that's going to, you know, give them as much help as opposed to the amount of upside that they could get from having a guy like Bazley on the roster and being able to develop him and mold him. So I guess it comes down to what you prioritize, really. And the Thunder's pretty clear that they prioritize internal development, being able to go get some help on the free agent market, maybe through a trade, and picking some guys that they can still have some long-term growth with, whether it's Bazley, Ferguson, Jeremy Grant, Diallo. Like I said, they're going to be sweet in 2023, man. Like when Russell Westbrook's knees are bone on bone, they're going to be a solid team, or they're going to have some athleticism.
Yeah,
yeah. All those guys that you just mentioned, similar builds. I mean, some are a bigger version of, like, Jeremy Grant is obviously bigger than Terrence Ferguson, but they're all pretty much long, lean, athletic.
Yeah, and Grant and Ferguson have turned themselves into, you know, competent shooters, at least after seeing them last year. I mean, they weren't.
Grant led the team in 3-point shooting.
40% 3-point shooter. And he might not replicate that next season. But, you know, it's a good step forward for Terrence Ferguson and Jeremy Grant, what they did last year. Unfortunately, they put themselves in a hole those first two games in Portland by shooting horribly, Dennis Schroeder included. Mm-hmm. But it's a good step forward for those young guys. And, the Thunder has a plan here. It's not the plan that everybody wants to see played out, but, you know, the Thunder also didn't plan on Steven Adams and Russell Westbrook missing 301 free throws either.
Yeah.
So.
For sure. Yeah, long term. Those are the phrases that those are the two words. I think if Thunder fans watched that last night and thought, what? It's all about the long term. Speaking of long term, I'm going to go the opposite and say, in the short term, I've got to go do a video. So if you find folks want to continue
I can
walk away and you guys can keep going, but
we'll wrap it up. We're going to write some stuff.
We should do a video too.
I guess we should.
Like I tell my kid, you've got a 1 minute warning before XYZ happens. You've got a 1 minute warning before I walk out of this podcast studio.
Man. It's harsh.
How long before we're back at this talking about the next Thunder acquisition? You think it's going to happen in the next
couple weeks? Free agency opens in about a week. So I think that, you know, it's going to be interesting to see in the next week what happens in terms of guys getting moved, because teams are going to want to still reposition themselves in order to, you know, create salary cap space. Move off of some guys that they don't want in order to get their space clear so they can go after some guys that they do want.
Right.
And the Thunder could be active there. So in the next week or so, we're probably going to be back on the podcast talking about some Thunder transaction of significance. Remember, the deal for Paul George was struck the day before free agency in 2017. So
hold on to your hats, Thunder fans.
Hold on to your hats. I'm not saying that they're going to go get somebody crazy like that, but look, if they're putting everybody out there in terms of being available besides Paul George and Russell Westbrook, then that opens up the opportunity for deals to be struck. Boom. We shall see. Anything to add to that, Manny?
No, I'm helping Jenny get out of here. Tied up in the bow.
Tied up. Thanks for joining us on the Thunder Buddies podcast. Thanks for listening, downloading, and subscribing on Apple Podcasts. Thanks for reading our stuff in the Oklahoman and on Oklahoman.com. Thanks, Jenny.
No problem.
Thanks, Maddie.
Got you.
And we will see you all probably next week after the Thunder trades Russell Westbrook and Paul George for some 19-year-old kid who didn't play in college next year.
Fun. I'll be here for that. Woo-hoo.
All right, see y'all.